Distractions, they come in many forms. And they may hinder us from focusing on what we really need to be focusing on. And if we are not careful, it could become a problem. Now, there are many things in the world which could divert our thinking if we are not careful. By giving into things that the world has to offer, and also being caught up and sidetracked with speculation and assumption. And we've been hearing a lot about that lately in our most recent messages and programs, how we need to be aware of what is going on by what the Bible is prophesying, and we shouldn't allow ourselves to be deceived with all the propaganda and the politics and the conspiracies that are floating around the internet and media sources. That is a distraction, and it can consume our thinking if we are not careful, and it can lead us down a wrong path. We must understand who the author of confusion is. Who is a deceiver? Who is a ruler of this world? We must also understand what our commission is, what our purpose is. And the weekly updates that we publish is for our benefit. This is the real news. This is the news that we need to concentrate on as we prepare ourselves on what is to come in the near future. And these current events that we go through is based on biblical prophecy. Look what last year has brought, and the prior years before that leading up to now. Look how quick things have changed in Europe, especially in Germany, with the whole migrant situation returning to Merkel. She's not favored anymore like she used to be. What does the near future hold for the USA, especially for the upcoming elections? Who is God going to put in charge, and for what purpose? To make America great again? Well, is that what the Bible prophesies? It's a nice saying. Will it happen, though? Well, we in the church know the answer to that, and the Bible makes it clear, and we have literature and plenty of messages on that, including our booklets, The Great Tribulation and the Day of the Lord, and The Fall and Rise of Britain and America, just to name a couple. And this goes into the future of America and other English-speaking nations and the responsibility that God has given his end-time church. Matthew 24:22 commands us to watch, and that is exactly what we should be doing. Watching, but also warning of what is to come. So what we need to ask ourselves is, are we prepared? Are we ready? Or are we giving into distractions? You know, there are simple distractions that can affect us, which again, if we are not careful, will keep us from the kingdom of God. And there are some distractions that we need to be aware of. People. People in this world. People and their beliefs. We need to be careful that we do not engage ourselves too much when it comes to people and their beliefs. It doesn't bring much good, when quite often it brings about an argument. I've been in that situation many times, and people just do it for the sake of arguing. And especially if they're atheists, that's not going to bring about anything. They don't even believe in the Bible, so don't even bother. We have to remember that God is the one who does the calling. So trying to convert someone, such as a close friend or perhaps a family member, could bring about more harm than it can good. God is very patient, and so must we, because he will call someone in due time, if he wants to. Not only that, people may be trying to do the same if they belong to another religion in hopes they can try and convert you. Which is why we need to be careful when it comes to material that we read in books and the internet, and also the things that we see on TV, especially insofar as prophecy is concerned, that twist what the Bible says. So maybe personally between somebody may not be like that, but if you start to get yourself engaged in what the internet, let's say, is saying, think about it that way. That could be something that could affect you, and it could be a conversion process from their end, their perspective, if we are not careful. See, Satan is very intelligent, and he can get to us in ways that we may not even realize at first. Not only that, if we get ourselves too emotionally involved, we can start to adapt to that line of thinking and start believing more and more in what man says rather than what God says. Remember, what is not of God is of Satan. Holidays. Those can most certainly be a distraction, for many of them are ungodly, and man has twisted the true meaning behind them by making them appear innocent fun, nor do they have any relevance with what the Bible teaches. Instead, man has replaced God's holy days with man's holidays by giving into pagan worship, which God prohibits. And he tells us not to worship him in the way the pagans worship their gods, by adopting pagan customs and incorporating them in our worship. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 30 and 31. Now, we in the church, we know this. But there are ways that we can still be affected by people, by, in a sense, let's say, what people do not understand. But we still get caught up in that every single year. But we do know that this is not of God. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 20 to 22. The things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and of the table of demons. All right, because I just want to read those two verses. So, what is not of God is then of Satan. And these holidays that man has created is not of God. And that's where we need to be aware of that. Now, what about prayer? How can prayer be a distraction? Well, it depends on how you pray. We sometimes get distracted while we pray. Our minds may start to wander, and we may think about all the things that we can pray about, or we could lose our train of thought altogether. Now, what does that mean? Well, for me personally, I could really sit there for 15 minutes, 30 minutes, praying about all the things I want to pray about, and it sometimes gets difficult. Because you can lose your train of thought because you can't get everything all in there at one. But it is hard too because the question is, how often do we pray? Are we not praying enough? Are we too wrapped up in our lives? And are we preoccupied with other things while neglecting the importance of prayer? And that is easy to do. And we may forget sometimes. It is important how we pray and what we should pray for. God tells us to ask, and it will be given. Whatever is in accordance to his will, though. If we pray that we should win the lottery, and God doesn't grant us that wish, there's obviously a reason why he wouldn't allow it, for he knows better than us, for our own good. Now you can try. We could test him in that way, see if he will grant that to us. But God is going to know better in the end if that truly is something that we need or that we can handle. You know, we're also distracted through the things we struggle with the most. And if there is anyone in the Bible we can use as a prime example who went through exactly that, it is Paul. Let's look at Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, verse 14 through 19. Romans 7, verse 14, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand, for I will to do that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law, that it is good. But now it's no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is my flesh, nothing good dwells, for to will is present with me. But how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice." Now, we've gone over this scripture several times in messages in the past, but it is something that is constantly being brought up, because Paul went through this constantly, because he says what he does not want to do, he practices, which means he did it several times, but he knows. You know, and we go through the same things. We get faced with the same type of trials, and, you know, it's human nature is what he went through. And it is extremely difficult, being human, how we can remain, like, how we can be perfect. But that's the whole process of this that we go through. And we do recognize our sins, and that's why we have to ask for forgiveness and ask for strength. And that's why we need to constantly pray. You know, there are many other distractions that could affect us in different ways. We can have distractions in our jobs. We can have distractions in social media, like Facebook. Boy, Facebook is a real distraction. You can really get caught up in that. Society and culture, which I already went over. Relationships can be a distraction. Even technology is a distraction. Entertainment. Material things. Money, that's a big one. That can also be a distraction. Our conscience. And not to say that all of these are bad, but we need to have a proper approach and a balance as how to handle, or how we handle, these things. So everything that we are surrounded by, yes, there are many distractions in this world. Indeed, there are many of these things which we may get sidetracked on, which could affect our focus. God wants us to be ready. He wants us to be prepared. And he wants us to conquer our weaknesses and overcome the distractions that Satan throws at us. We know that Satan will tempt us in every way possible, but we also know that we can overcome every obstacle that we are faced with, as there is nothing too difficult for us to handle, as God says in the Bible. Take it personal. God has called us for a reason. He has a purpose for us in the future, and just in the future. Oh, he has a purpose for us right now. And we need to understand that we could possibly delay the return of Christ if we are not faithful in doing the work, if we are not faithful within ourselves by doing what we need to be doing. Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 4 through 9. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 4. Question is asked, "Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget," it's ignorantly meaning here, "that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are preserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any of us should perish, but that all should come to repentance." So Christ's coming may be delayed. If church members whom God wants to call in his kingdom are not ready due to lack of serious repentance. It's not just one kind of thing when you sin and you repent, all is forgiven. No. See, that's why we need to always be on guard and always have to know what we are doing. And I believe we have an interesting year ahead of us, and we are indeed getting closer. And we will be tried, and we will be tested more and more to see how strong we are in the faith. Satan knows where we are vulnerable, which is why we need to remain vigilant at all times. And God knows that we can succeed if we obey him.